I'm Dan Raviv at CBS News in New York. There's a new study that compares, among other things, the cost of running a medical practice. At least that's my understanding. It's in the July issue of Health Affairs, a study partially supported by the Commonwealth Fund. But we're joined by the man who did this study, Dr. Lawrence Casalino. You're Associate Professor of Public Health and Chief of the Division of Outcomes and Effectiveness Research at Weill Cornell Medical College here in New York. So I assume you've spent quite a lot of time looking at America's typical medical practice and looking north of the border to Canada. Dr. Casalino, I mean, just please explain that, because a lot of people say we know Canada is a government-run health system. What's the validity of the comparison? And by the way, what did you find?
Well, Dan, we were trying to explore what it costs physician practices in the U.S., what it costs physicians and their staff to interact with health plans. Because physicians in the U.S. have to interact with multiple health plans, with Aetna, with Blue Cross, with United, and so on, because they take care of patients who have insurance from different plans. Whereas in Canada, it's a single-payer system. There's just one government payer. We were trying to understand what's the difference in cost of dealing with multiple payers, as in the U.S., as opposed to dealing with a single payer in Canada.
And everyone will expect that you found the cost for the typical medical practice in the U.S. is higher. How much higher? What's your finding there?
Yeah, it wasn't surprising, I don't think, to us or probably to anybody else, but we found that U.S. practices spend about four times as much per physician on dealing with health plans as Canadian practices do in dealing with their single health plan. So in the U.S., on average, U.S. practices spend $83,000 per physician per year dealing with health plans. And in Canada, it's about $22,000 per physician per year.
All of that's interesting, but the United States has a multi-payer system. And even last year's health reform did not, you know, move us toward a single-payer system, not a state-run national health service. So what else did you learn by looking at this in depth?
It would be easy to conclude that the difference in the $83,000 in the U.S. versus the $22,000 in Canada, which, by the way, comes out to about $27 billion a year in the U.S. that in theory could be saved. It'd be easy to say, well, this is all waste, that the $60,000 or so per physician per year is waste. That's not necessarily the case. There may be benefits of having a multiple-payer system. But that said, there's, I think, very widespread agreement that among both health plan leaders and physician leaders, that the multiple payer system in the U.S. now is not run very efficiently in the way it deals with physicians. One physician that we spoke to in interviews prior to doing the study said, and by the way, I was in private practice for 20 years full time, and so I know what this is like. He said that it's as if every time a patient comes in with an insurance card, it's as if every time I went to the gas station, I had to, before I could hook up the nozzle to my gas tank, I had to find a special adapter somewhere in my trunk. And without that, I really wouldn't know if there was gas there or what type of gas or what the gas was going to cost. And I think that's the way it is for physicians. Every time they have to deal with a health plan, there's a tremendous lack of standardization. So that could be changed. The other difference from Canada is that U.S. physicians undergo a lot more oversight from health plans than Canadian physicians. So as you and many of your listeners probably know, very often when physicians want to order a service for a patient, an MRI scan, a referral to a specialist, the physician has to obtain prior authorization from a health plan. And that's a very costly process. And actually, obtaining prior authorizations, dealing with billing from multiple payers, and dealing with the formularies of drugs that health plans will allow and won't allow, that accounts for the difference in the cost between the U.S. and Canada.
Someone might logically say, oh, all right, maybe Dr. Casalino is suggesting that health plans should let doctors get on with it. Don't ask so many questions. Don't triple check everything, right? The health plan may think it's saving money by asking all these questions, but in the long run, it costs our country more.
Well, that's a question that no one has an answer to. I mean, you framed it exactly right. So we found that U.S. practices, the nurses spend about 13 hours a week obtaining prior authorizations, and physicians about one, and then clerical staff also get involved. In our nine-physician practice, we had two of our best and most highly paid staff who did nothing but obtain authorizations from health insurance plans so that we could refer our patients for services that we thought they needed. So I think there's no question in my mind, and most other students of the U.S. healthcare system, I think, that there are a lot of things done that need not be done. So, for example, a lot of MRI scans for routine low back pain are ordered that pretty clearly shouldn't be ordered. So from that point of view, health plan prior authorization can be useful. But I think that the question that a lot of physicians have is health plans have a lot of data and claim to be good at using it. If that's the case, why don't they identify the physicians who seem to be a problem and require them to obtain prior authorization and not make every physician go through it? That would save money and hassle for physicians. It also would save money on the health plan side because it's not free for them to do the prior authorization process. They have to spend money on it as well.
Would you favor a single-payer system if we could have one in the U.S., if only to avoid all these administrative costs?
You know, Dan, that's a question that I've struggled about my whole career. Just gut feeling, I would, when I actually, as a physician and as a political person, but, you know, when I actually try to think hard about the pros and cons of multiple payer versus single payer, I think you can make an argument either way, honestly. And I think both can work. I think it depends how they're done.
Dr. Lawrence Castellino, so interesting. I appreciate that. And your study can be read in Health Affairs, considering the costs in the U.S. and Canada. And we can learn a lot from that. Dr. Castellino, thanks.
Thank you, Dan.
I'm Dan Raviv, CBS News, New York.